The good is that you can watch us on YouTube, and you can pull us up basically anywhere at any given time and have access to the show.
It is so nice. Like, dude, I'll be honest. Like, every now and again, like, I'll throw, like, when I'm at home, like, yeah. I'll throw you and Nick just on the TV.
That's
like,
nice.
You ever do the YouTube on the TV where, like, you could just got you guys on the TV?
Love it. I also, were you telling me sometimes you live in the comments section?
Occasionally, you will see me in the comments.
Is it as your name, or do you have like a different name that you go into?
I'm not hiding behind. No, I don't care. No.
So Nick checks the YouTube comments. Nick Wilson, that is. He's never. What's your YouTube username?
Just
is
Nick
it anything?
Padone.
It is that he's never mentioned you being in there. So like, wouldn't that stand out?
I'll have to make more of a scene in there. Evidently,
I love that you're in there. I love that you go after people in there.
No, I just chime in on my thoughts on the show. Like, I just join the conversation of what you guys are talking about. I genuinely enjoy the conversation.
Okay, so you're just like, oh, good point, JP. Hey, Nick, that's a good point right there. That's all it is.
Yeah, more like because like, dude, I see them in here arguing with each other, and like they're I don't even know what they're arguing. like unless you're in there 24/7, I'm not hip to what they're arguing about, so I just end up just taking part of the show more or less in the maybe I need to make myself more known.
Well, all caps lock seems to be the theme if you want to make yourself. Did I tell you? So like last week or so, yeah, it was early last week. Nick was off and Daryl was in. And this guy, instead of, you know how you can do like super chats that get you to the top of the feed or whatever it is?
Oh, yeah.
So you can just kind of go right at the front. This guy instead, he called up. And then was like, and we took him on the air,
right?
Yeah,
it's a player move.
And then, and he called up, and then he was like, he like subverted the whole line with the chat and was like, here's what they're arguing about in the chat, and here's why I'm going to tell all these people why they're wrong. I thought it's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
It is a good move. Like, as somebody that has, done shows on YouTube and that whole thing before, I've never had like that ability for somebody to do that. Like, he pulled the Trump card on the whole rest
of the
chat.
It's so great.
He was like, he found the hack. Like,
you want to make yourself the center of attention and also get as long as you want. Call in 216-474-0092. All right. So are you worried about the Browns potentially losing on Sunday?
I am, dude. Like, I'm genuine. Like, this feels like, cause I feel like this has to be a bounce back game and everybody knows that. But like, the fact that the Titans have this speedy returner stresses me out, because special teams are going to be under a magnifying glass, and that just means something bad is bound to happen.
Coach Riz already sent me a big long text. By the way, Coach Riz and myself will be on 10 o'clock to 1 after Nick and Jake Volnick in the pregame. And he sent me this big long text about the special teams for the Titans and how scared it is. I'll tell you this right now. I am not doing a special team show on Sunday in the pregame. I'm going to give Coach Riz like a solid 3 minutes to go through his problems and his worries when it comes to their special teams. I cannot focus. I hate focusing enough on our special teams. The idea that we got to focus on theirs is going to be exhausting to me.
Yeah, but like, dude, if you lose this game, I seriously believe by like transitive property, you are the worst team in the NFL. And okay. I don't want to be the worst team in the NFL. I want to win. I want to win so bad.
But like, fourth worst now. What's the big difference?
Because there's just something extra embarrassing about it, especially knowing that I'm still not even going to have the number one overall pick. So not only am I going to be embarrassed on Sunday, I don't even get to have the luxury of knowing that I have something to look forward to in April, because that could still get taken away.
Okay, so the idea that should the Browns lose on Sunday is not even, it's a non-starter for yourself.
No, because like, I've subscribed to that before where I'm like sitting there and I'm like, hopefully they do lose this game for the number one overall pick, but that hasn't gotten me anything.
Yeah.
I once went through an era not too long ago where I had back-to-back number one overall picks.
Okay, but,
and what
but
that
it did,
got me? Not a whole lot.
But it kind of did get you a lot though, because in those back-to-back number one overall picks, you got Myles Garrett, Baker Mayfield, Denzel Ward, and Nick Chubb. Like that was, that's a pretty good haul through two drafts.
It was, but what, like, I and I'm not trying to take anything away, like,
David Njoku was in the back end of that too.
Beating Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh was like phenomenal. Having that happen in the postseason, like,
well,
you,
I think about that list though. It's Myles
that.
Garrett, David Njoku, Denzel Ward, Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb. That is, how many of those guys?
And Jabril Peppers, which turned into Odell Beckham.
Well, again, you didn't hit on all of them, but like the whole point, like, that did pay off. Like, I get it. It didn't pay off in massive wins or anything like that.
Results.
It didn't pay off in a Super Bowl. I get it. We got one playoff win against the Steelers, and then you had a close game against the Chiefs to go to the AFC title game. I get it. The end results weren't there, but the results as far as dynamic players and guys we ended up using that not only we ended up paying $100+ million to is insane based off of those results.
For sure. And like you need talent on this roster. So you do need a good draft pick. I'm not arguing that, but like the poison ball and the losing culture, like that's what the culture is in Cleveland.
No,
right
I know,
now
but
I guess so. And I'm sick of losing.
Here's where I have an interesting conundrum within myself, because I totally agree with you, and this is something that I've mentioned before. I've moved off of my own thoughts on this. I used to definitely be, you get to a point in the season, you lose, you get the best draft position possible, and you go from there. I'm not that guy anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not. I there's value in winning games, and there's value in the locker room in winning games, and the coaching staff, and I think once you get that cancer in there, that losing culture, I think it's so hard to eradicate, and that's a problem. So I find the value in that. I always make an exception when you think there's generational talents, though, in the draft. And so, like, if I really believe that there was one of those guys there, then I would make a different case. I don't believe that right now with this draft. Like,
right.
The Browns are much different. Even not even just quarterbacks. Myles Garrett, if we won a game in 2016 that caused us getting Myles Garrett 2017 number one overall, this franchise is completely different without that player. And he was a bona fide and obvious number one overall pick in 2017.
And they still almost passed on him.
No, they didn't really even consider that. I was doing radio here every single day. That was not a real conversation. I don't know. At that point...
I hope...
You were in high school still. Come on, what are we doing here? There was no real conversation.
I hope.
About any of that Mitch Trubisky nonsense. That wasn't really going to happen. They were always going to take him. But the point is that like there are enough players that you do it for. I don't see one in this draft.
I agree with that, and I also think like I agree with it. It makes more sense, in my opinion, to tank in the NBA, where one player truly can change everything. Where even let's pretend that Fernando Mendoza, like for one second, let's pretend that Fernando Mendoza was the same ilk of prospect that we were discussing Caleb Williams. Look at how bad Caleb Williams' rookie year was because he didn't have an offensive line. He didn't have wide receivers.
And Eberflus is an absolute idiot.
That didn't help anything either.
And that's part of the problem we have right now, too, is that like, if you draft somebody, do I trust any of these guys to get it right anyway? But like, it doesn't matter, though, because Caleb Williams this year is looking good at football. And Caleb Williams, when you have those type of players, I'm not even speaking Caleb. I'm speaking more, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, those guys that it was unquestionable.
Yeah.
This is the guy you get one every 5 years in this draft.
Yep.
I do it for those guys. I do. I would come up with the fun catchphrases. I would do everything. The march to arch, all these, the suck for luck. I would do all these things. I would if it meant at the end of that we got that. That's not what is being asked of you guys this weekend, and that is not what is even being offered up for you guys this weekend.
Nope.
Potentially the Browns with a loss this weekend would, yes, raise their odds of being a top five pick. You're still not going to get the number one overall pick, and in a draft that I don't think offers up a generational talent the way that we're talking about that appears at once every 5 years, or even like a Myles Garrett that might not be a quarterback but is destined for Canton the moment that they put on a jersey.
And even like Drake May was the number three overall pick.
Yeah, third quarterback off the board.
And like it signed me up for that. Like if I could close my eyes right now and we go into a time machine to the 2024 NFL draft and I could sign a dotted line that says Drake May would be the quarterback of the Browns, sure, sign me up for that. So like I don't think you have to lose all of these games intentionally because you don't know. Like Drake May was a bit of an unproven commodity, and sure, he had skills and he was obviously a big guy with a big arm, but like he went to UNC. It wasn't like he was this, you know, Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence, can't miss type prospect. Like,
I know,
he had some questions.
But you still should be thinking about these things, though. It's not as if you just want to, hey, we'll let the chips fall where they may, and then we organize it all when we get there. I feel like that mentality might be too laissez-faire for myself. Like, oh, just play out the season, and then when we get to the draft spot, we can talk about it then. Like, you do have to do some forecasting.
I think I just have been lost because I just want to win. I want to win so bad. Like, ever since Jarvis Landry gave that, like, it's contagious, bro, like, speech that he did, like, I want to so badly remove ourselves from being same old Browns. And this season, to me, has been a lot of same old Browns. Where I've got coaches, you know, saying that they publicly say in press conferences they don't have enough talent. Wyatt Teller's mysteriously benched. Like, this all right now screams same old Browns. And I don't want want Mason Graham to feel like he's on the same old Browns. Listen, I don't want Quinshon Judkins to think that he's on the same old Browns.
I'm hearing what you're saying. I don't know that a win against the Titans is going to fix that either.
No, it definitely doesn't. But it at least could let them believe that, like, okay, this is a feeling that we can have every now and again, and we need to work towards having these feelings come across more than once every blue moon. We need to become familiar with winning.
Okay, just to play devil's advocate a little bit here, though, that feeling is very fleeting.
Because we just lived through it. We had one really cool week where it was fun, and we got to not talk about firing Kevin Stefanski every day when you beat the Raiders, but now look at right where we're back, because they haven't been able to establish any semblance of consistent winning, and that's what I'm chasing. So if I'm chasing consistency, I at least got to start somewhere, and that's win the games you're supposed to, right?
Yes and no, because again, you're gonna go against the Bears next week, and then it's a 10-win Bears team that needs every win they possibly can because they're trying to get a one seed, and you're just going to get run out the building. And then you're going to take on a Bills team, and it's going to go the very same way. And then you're going to take on the Steelers, and like you see how the win just kind of it's very, again, I said
so
fleeting.
What's What's the solution then? Sit on our hands and be okay and just accept defeat and just accept that we're horrible and we should all feel horrible for the situations that we find ourselves in.
You can't lose to the Titans. I think that's too embarrassing. I think it's the type of thing that you have to make sure you try to win this game. It is across the board too embarrassing not to, and you take the wins when you get them. But I also want to put in the proper perspective of, I don't think a Titans game is all of a sudden going to cure this locker room as if all of a sudden everything is great. Like, the cancer still exists in the locker room, okay? Like, if you're looking for the Titans to be your cure-all, to be the antibody that goes ahead and makes everything all right, to give you immunity to this, you got to look elsewhere, because that's not happening, and I think we all know that.
I just hope that if you could beat the Titans,
you're going to leave Week 18 against the Bengals a dejected team anyway.
Probably.
You know that, I know that.
But I hope that, like, a win against the Titans lets the young players believe that that winning is something that can be done here. That, like, they don't have to follow
in the
likes of...
Are they
going to
look at it that way?
If I'm Mason Graham, I'm going to win because I don't want to be Danny Shelton 2.0.
Is he really
going to
look at that way after a 4-win season at the end of the year?
If I'm Quinshon Judkins, I want to win because I don't want to be Trent Richardson.
Okay, yeah, but
I don't want to be these
bums. To move your total from 3 to 4 wins, though, like, the difference is we're not talking about them winning a 4-game winning streak and all of a sudden having a burst to go into the postseason. We are talking about moving your season win total from 3 to 4 with the potential of maxing out at maybe 5 at the end of the year.
Right.
You know how Quinshon's going to look at this at the end of the season, regardless of a Titans win or not? He's going to look at it like we lost a lot of games.
Yeah, for sure. But the games that we did win, those are the feelings that we need to chase. Like, the winning feeling is truly contagious. It's infectious. And I want this locker room to get that. I don't want them to have the same
old
stench.
It's not that contagious if we're just talking about them losing to the Bears and then losing to the Bills.
But who's to say
that would happen?
Like, we're talking about a Jets team that turned their season around, but they've been able to win a couple games. They found a couple wins after they beat the Browns.
I want some of what you're smoking if you think we're going to win the Bears game.
I don't think we're going to win the Bears game. I want to watch competitive football, whatever's going on in your brain. All I've seen is non-competitive football. If a win against the Titans leads me to at least have a puncher's chance against the Bears, sure, sign me up for that, because more than likely, if you lose against the Titans, you're going to get the door
blown
off.
You're going to have the same chance against the Bears whether you win the game or not against the Titans. The Titans don't move any of that. Beating the Titans is not beating a real football team in the sense of, oh, we did something, we accomplished something. Beating the Titans
is... So what are we arguing, though?
You're supposed to just...
It's
like rolling out of the bed and saying, oh, I had a great day today. Like, no, everyone does that. Like, that should be the expectation that you have when you open up the day. I rolled out of bed. I got out.
Right.
My feet hit the ground. Congratulations. I don't look at it as you're achieving some great big task by beating the Titans. And so I'm with you in a lot of steps. I think we're meeting each other halfway in a lot of areas. But I'm also not looking at this Titans game as if you get a win, all of a sudden, look aside. Here comes the Super Bowl. We got this all figured out. Like, you have so many areas that you have to get right and so many ways that even with a Titans win, you're still going to end up falling flat on your face. And I would promise you, a Titans win is not going to erase what happened with Wyatt Teller this week. It's not going to all of a sudden make Jerry Jeudy be a great player. It's not going to all of a sudden make all of these situations that have existed around the Browns clear up in the matter of one game. And so, like, it's hard. It's not easy. Football's not easy for a lot of reasons, but, like, I just don't look at this as some sort of cure-all either. 216-474-0092. Eric in Akron. Hello, Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, man?
Nick, I envy you, man. I really do. to be there. I'm 45. I've watched this team since 99. I used to think the same way, man. We got to win, we got to win, we got to win. And then I realized something. Out of all the quarterbacks the Browns have drafted since 99, we took two of them number one overall. That was Tim Couch and Baker Mayfield. And they were probably the two best quarterbacks we've had. In order to get that piece, you probably have to draft a quarterback high. Like, I forget the stat exactly, but something like 40, 50% of Hall of Famers come from the top half.
For sure.
Of the first round. So in order to achieve long-term success, yeah, we're going to have to suck for a while, and that includes losing to the Titans.
All right. Thank you, Eric. I appreciate you. Not only that, like if you like the quarterbacks across the NFL, franchise quarterbacks,
they're almost all first round picks.
Yeah. Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts. And I don't consider Brock Purdy that great. But like, in my opinion, there's two. You have two franchise quarterbacks that were taken outside of the first round. A lot of it does happen in the first
round. And even like, I'll throw you Brock Purdy, but like, that's an anomaly.
Yeah. Like, and it's still like the majority of these, they just come in the first round.
Yeah. And like, okay, if Brock Purdy never met Kyle Shanahan, things probably look a little bit different for him, I have to imagine.
He might be selling insurance at this point.
Like if Kevin Stefanski was
Brock
Purdy.
Right there with Diego Pavia.
Yeah, I mean, Pavia and Purdy, you know, LLC Incorporated or whatever we want to call it.
Yeah, that's the law firm I want to go to. Although, I don't know. Hey, Brock Purdy might be able to sell some mean insurance, I'll tell you that. I would trust Brock Purdy with a lot more money than I'm willing to admit right now with you guys.
I would trust.
I feel like I would trust that man.
I feel like this is kind of a no-duh statement. Yeah. I'm trusting Brock Purdy with my money before I'm trusting Diego Pavia with my money.
The guy that says he's playing real-life Grand Theft Auto by living in Albuquerque. Yeah, I might do that as well. 216-474-0092. Continue with your phone calls. And then are Sagan versus Mendoza, are they playing for the Heisman this weekend? We'll get into Ohio State's big game tomorrow as well. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan. Hard to believe it's already Friday and that game is tomorrow night. I don't know. Every time everyone's been like, oh, it's Saturday, I just get thrown off for some reason.
I know. And it, like, it just has kind of felt so far away for so long just because like we finally got past Michigan and all that. And then now it's here. Big Ten Championship game. Let's go.
I also think Thanksgiving just wrecked with a lot of people as far as for this week is concerned. I think this week, it didn't feel long for me. I was talking to a friend earlier today, though, and he's like, man, this week really felt long, didn't it? And I'm like, it felt fine for me, but no, I get why for a lot of people it did.
It was cool for me. And that's included, like, usually on a Friday, like, you know, I'd be home, like, plenty by now, you know, so like even for me still not being home, like
I get plenty by now.
Yeah, like
what have you done at work? What have you done at work? You don't have to admit that. I don't know. I know your boss listens. I know you don't. You just, as far as I know, never leave the office.
Here's the thing though. Like, he's kind of like a bad example for me because like he'll be like packing up his stuff and he'll look at me and he'll be like, go home. And then I just do.
That's a good boss, though.
It is.
That's,
it is.
That's good.
Awesome.
I like that. Awesome. Instead of looking at you and being like, if I was, so I'd like to think if I owned a company, that's how I would run it as well. I would be the person that's like, go home. But it would. I know me well enough to know that if the quotas were met, and I'm sure you're meeting them, if the quotas were met, I'd be the best boss in the world.
Yeah, because he knows. Like, look, like I'm going to book an interview for my show over a family obligation. You know, like it's
there's
a
loyalty that you've shown.
He knows that I care. Yeah.
There's loyalty that you've shown, and even discussing that earlier today might have just been that was a good business move on your behalf, is what that was. No,
I don't know. I don't really get it. Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
I mean, the whole point of the story is that basically you're choosing your work over your fiance.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if you wanted to do like a TLDR version of that, an Odyssey Rewind 440, it's basically Nick's very confused about why we continue to have Thanksgivings a week later than we have them, and also maybe not the world's greatest fiance, but hey, stand up employee. Did I miss that, Mac?
I guess so.
No, pretty dead on.
Now that we're retelling it, was this all just for your boss? Is that all this was?
No.
This like one big con so that your boss could hear that and then be like, "Whoa, he really does take this seriously, doesn't he?" This man's working on Saturday. He's giving up his second Thanksgiving. It'd be really funny if your boss was really into that. Like, oh wow, yeah, we have three Thanksgivings too.
No.
No.
What's crazy is he got the whole story before you did, and he kind of gave me the same reaction.
Yeah, so. No, shocker. You told your boss the story where you put the company way before your own family life. I mean, what are we doing here? That's not even you being blissfully unaware. That's just That's just good job security is what I call that.
I guess so.
You unintentionally are doing a lot of things right is kind of the takeaway here.
Yeah, I think maybe. I'm just stumbling through life, dude. That's really what this is. I mean, this is how the expression goes, you just let the kid touch the stove. This is me with my full bare palm on the stove.
Is that right?
Every single day when I wake up, it's a miracle that I find my way back to the bed.
You know why it works for you?
Why?
It's because you have that mentality. That's why it works for you, is because you have the mentality of somebody that appears and is that way, and it's just matches, so it's very authentic. Whereas if you were that in the way you are, while then also trying to appear any other way, I think it would just fall extremely flat on its face.
I will take that as a compliment.
I think it is. Yeah, I think it's very nice. You're 26, 27 years old. You have not only identified who you are as a human, but you've embraced yourself and you've wrapped yourself around that. And I think that is very clear to people. That's a good thing. It takes people a lot longer than 26, 27 to figure that stuff out.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, because I just feel like any other way, I would just be like faking it, you know? And it's just, I don't know. Then it would just be weird. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to say to that.
There's many points where you just give off like a dude, where's my car vibe. Also, maybe mixed with like one of those early Chappelle, Neil Brennan stoner movies. And it's very confusing, but also very endearing to me in many, many ways. All right. 216-474-0092. Is it Ramadi? Is that right? In Cleveland, up next in the Fan. Hello.
Ramadi.
Apologies for that. Go ahead, Ramadi.
Man, I just was calling, man. I'm going to love the show. I listen to y'all on my way home every day.
Well, thank you for that. And, what's on your mind?
Man, I was just talking to my buddy, man. We played football all our lives, right? I was part of those 90s St. Ignatius teams. And we had talent, man. I just say football is about having talent on the field. That's why Alabama and the OT are so good. And all the other teams in the NFL who have, like, talented wide receivers, no wonder they're putting up points. I just think Stewart's and any quarterback that gets in there is already hamstrung because of the lack of talent he has on the offensive side. You know what I'm saying? We're building up the defense, but I believe we don't spend every pick we got in the draft on offensive talent and getting some playmakers and some people who can stretch the field. You know, nobody's scared of what we got. You go into a defensive planning meeting, who do you put on the board? Like, Junkins? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What do you put on the board? Like, who are we scared of? So, like, we're playing with a bunch of number twos at best, and the guy who's arguing on the sidelines is the guy who's led the league in drops for the last couple of years. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. It's, you know, I've been a Browns fan all my life, but it's kind of hard right now. But I believe we could turn it around, man. What you guys think?
All right, thank you, man. Appreciate you. And, I mean, you're not wrong. Like, the talent part of this is obviously it's clear. And I constantly wonder to myself – and this is where I do give Dylan more of a benefit of the doubt than some others, is the idea that whether it's Dylan, whether it's Shador, or even Flacco in the beginning part of the year, if you put Patrick Mahomes on this roster, I go to Mahomes with reason. He has not been given a bunch, and you've watched his offensive line in particular this year. They've struggled. Both tackles have been absolutely killer for him.
Yep.
And he doesn't really ever have a bunch of talent, but then you look at it, and now for 3 years, he has not really put up awesome numbers from a statistical standpoint. He's still been able to win games because their defense in many ways have been able to do a lot of different things as well. But he's not put up crazy numbers. But if you put one of those type of guys on this Browns offense, I think we can all agree they were going to struggle.
You know, the part of that call that made me giggle, and it is so true, because like, you play sports at any level, like elementary school sports, you know the kids on the other team that you've got to account for. So when these teams, like when the Titans are scheming up against the Browns offense right now, like, probably is Quinshon Judkins is like the
That's
one
guy. That's what the 49ers
guy.
Did.
Yeah.
The 49ers' whole game plan, especially in that second half, is as Quinshon talked about them putting 8-9 in the box and mixing it up and changing their pre-snap looks and everything. It was all to go ahead and make Quinshon try to be stopped.
Like, that's really, like that's it? Like, imagine right now, like, somewhere in Tennessee, they're talking about this Browns offense, and it's like, Cedric Tillman, what do we know about him? And it's like, well, he's not really an NFL player. Like, who else they got? Like, Jamari Thrash. Oh, he hasn't even played in 2 weeks. You wouldn't have known because he barely makes a difference when he is on the field. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it is kind of easy to game plan for an offense like the Browns because there's just not much they can do.
Well, and even with Shador and not understanding, or not understanding is the wrong way to put that, but not having the connection with some of these guys either. Like you saw the seven completions, the first seven completions he had in that game, they went to six different wide receivers.
Yep.
Like he's not going to isolate on to anybody, and he's not going to be
figuring this out in real time.
Exactly right. And you're going to have moments where I think he's going to, whoever's hot in the right moment. That's why he's had a couple games, and we've already seen the connection with Fannin, and you can see like, all right, so we trust Fannin. So maybe that's somebody they have to key into and that connection, but it's just, there just isn't enough of them. 216-474-0092, Mike and Stowe. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good evening, guys. It's still a Nick and Jonathan show, regardless.
I know. Right? The YouTube chat has definitely become very aware of that, by the way. Jake is telling me Padone's being called Nick Light on YouTube. And so, either way, it works.
I'm just going, Nick. It is what it is. It's not misspoken that way.
I don't think that was a fat joke by YouTube either. I don't think that's what they were doing, but I'm not sure.
I don't go there. I once was a heavier guy. I'm not anymore. I don't shame. Either get over it or live with it. One of the two.
I'm with you there.
So when I called earlier, you were kind of kicking around is the win against Tennessee, you know, do anything for this team? And I know Nick's a younger guy and he's got that, maybe a little bit more of that participation trophy mentality. And I don't mean that bad. I swear to God.
Participation trophy.
Tell me how you mean that good.
Yeah, jeez.
Well, I guess what I mean is this. What will make me feel better about being when I'm on the Browns is, like, you know, the last caller was getting to it. You know, when you think about our defense and you're on that defense, you feel like, you know, Mason Graham, when he goes suits up with those guys, he's got to be like, man, this is awesome. I know our defense isn't good. But that's exactly where we just need to really continue to work on it. So a win doesn't really do much for us because, like you said, Jonathan, we're going to get pounded after this week. This is a team that should be rolling over for us. We'll see what happens, like the Raiders did a couple weeks ago. That offensive line performance by the Raiders, you know, it didn't hurt Miles none, but that was ole all the way. So I just think, like, no win doesn't do enough for us because then you're going to get your butt handed to you like multiple times rest. What's going to do more for us is starting to build threats. Harold Fannin started talking about it. That's what's going to make people feel better. You know, getting real legitimate people on the offense that people fear, like we've got on the defense. We've got four guys on that defense that people are thinking about, you know, Carson and Miles and Denzel, you know, and Mason and even a couple other guys. We, you know, the other people are developing at the defensive line. But here's the thing I wanted to kick one more thing about the draft.
Mm-hmm.
The other reason everybody always thinks, well, you got to tank for a quarterback. No, you might tank for the best offensive lineman. You know, it doesn't mean like if the quarterbacks aren't the sure thing, so be it. We'll take a left tackle, guys, and we'll wait and see what happens because you don't have to take a quarterback at the top just because you're there. You can take maybe Arvell Reese. We don't need another defender. I get it, but, man, that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And, Mike, on your point there, the difference between, I don't know, being the 8 and 11 pick overall could be Tristan Wirfs and Jedrick Wills.
Correct, and that makes a big difference when you're talking about we already know what happens when you get down there, and it isn't a guarantee. I know that, and we've done it in the past, and I know that, but that doesn't mean that you don't still keep trying to do what's the best course of action, and I just don't think winning a game against a crappy team when you are a crappy team does much for you. About three spots in that draft, especially when you're talking about a team you could face a tiebreaker to, that's why the Raiders loss really stunk. Is, you know, these tiebreakers. We got that against the Jets. We hated that loss a few weeks ago. That might really come back to help us, though. So I just, you know, hey, I know I want a better future. I'm not a tank lover, but I do embrace the possibility of getting a better player by losing a few more games at this point in the season. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Mike. Appreciate you, man, as always.
I feel like I'm losing my mind over here.
No, that's
like,
fine. You're just a young kid with participation trophies.
I'm a
dissenting, I don't know what to tell you.
Opinion because I want the Browns to win football games.
Don't know what to tell you. That participation trophy of yours, it's looking real shiny right now. Real shine.
No, it's not, because I don't have many wins. All I have is I participated in this season. That's the participation trophy. I want to win so bad.
In case we missed it, next, right here on The Fan.